You're listening to Literally, the podcast where you literally get a complete behind-the-scenes peek at a one-on-one business coaching relationship and the transformation that unfolds over the course of 6 months. I'm your host, Lacey Seitz, business mentor and success coach, and the founder of A Lit Up Life. These are recordings of actual coaching sessions with one of my clients where you get to experience her journey right along with her and gain insight into building your own lit up life and the business that you desire.
All right, guys, welcome to session 7. I feel like last session I was saying, you know, hey, we're doing a lot more mindset on sessions and a lot more strategy in Basecamp. And I think that that is still true to some extent, but I also think this was a really, really great episode because we really did a great mixture of mindset and strategy. We dive into like visibility edges and all that's present there, but also get really, really specific on some of the strategic pieces Robin needs to think about for her upcoming launch, including both businesses. Really, you know, she has two things kind of imminent here. So I think this will be really helpful to hear just sort of how we're thinking about launching those things, how it might be different to start a new business versus launch something you already have, and definitely what comes up around the visibility that comes with that and the edges we hit there. So I think you guys will really like this episode and the blend here, and I'm excited for y'all to get to listen.
All right, what's going on?
Okay, forget. Hi.
Yay. These are always so hard because it's not like, oh, we would just re-record an interview or something like that. You're like, I must capture this.
Exactly. Exactly. I was like, why is the thing not like, you know, when it like receives something?
Yes.
Like a podcast thing, the pulsing. I'm like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. I need to look at that more. Okay. Yeah, I got it. What's going on? How you doing?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. We had a really nice holiday over here.
That's awesome. Is everyone left now?
Yes.
It's also awesome, right?
Also very awesome. It's so funny. It's like you want it so bad and then it happens and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Totally. What's going on? Give me an update.
Yeah. Okay. So working on a lot of things. My clients are getting insane results and that's been really, really fun.
The best.
Just like celebrating their wins and just like really massive, massive growth. So I'm feeling really good about that. Working on the funnel, the launch strategy for the fertility cocoon. Kind of like been reflecting on what needs to happen for the mother business launch and masterclass stuff. So those are kind of the big pieces that I'm working on.
You have many big pieces. That was my message to you in Basecamp.
Yeah. I know. I have a tendency to just like, I'm like really good at working.
You know, it's hard because I really can see both sides in so many ways. Like I feel that you and I have so many similarities in so many ways. And, you know, I started Dateable after losing my dad.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that was the
so perfect and so like, why the fuck am I doing this? Right?
Yes.
It's one of those things I think where it's like, sometimes it's so healing and it's fuck, it's so helpful. And I think it's so helpful to have a place to like channel some of that. Like, you know, we were talking about that grief and that anger and stuff. And also sometimes you're like, why the fuck, what am I doing? Like, this is crazy, yeah, right?
I know. Yeah, you're like, am I just being really self-sabotaging here to like just like right. Burn it all to the ground? Because it all feels like it's on fire anyway.
Yep. But I also think that like, I can see very much how like you have been in such a season for, you know, a while of like, you didn't have capacity for any of this. You didn't have capacity to like really double down on something or like, you know, launch a business or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and now that that has opened up, I'm like, I totally get why you want to like run at that and like feel really enlivened by that. So
yeah,
I think there's just so many elements where it's like, yes, we want to make sure you're not like going to tip yourself over into like some burnout or self-sabotage. And also like if it just makes sense and it probably feels really good in some ways, right? So I want to expand a bit on what I said about, you know, starting Dateable after my dad passed. So my dad left us at the end of July of 2022, and I believe Jen and I decided to partner in October of 2022. So almost this quite a similar amount of time to Robin and Fertility Cocoon. And so I say that just to say that, you know, sometimes grief can fuel you in a positive or negative way. And sometimes it's really hard to tell in the moment. And a lot of times it's both, right? Like in some ways it was kind of like, okay, I have 6 month old and I was like, you know, 3 to 4 months out of the grief. It was a crazy ass time to start Dateable. Like, what was I thinking? And also it was such a great place to channel my energy. It gave me so much excitement and passion. It really brought me back to life in so many ways too. And so I just wanted to say that because I think that sometimes we think something is always one or the other, you know, like it's always a good thing or it's always a bad thing. And for me, that experience was 100% both. Like in some ways it was so insane. Like I also moved in October of that year. Like it was like craziness, you know? I'm sure from the outside, everyone was like, the fuck are you doing? And also like, I am so, so, so grateful for that. I needed that in my life so much at that time. So I think so similarly to Robin, you know, I can kind of say, gosh, that you have a lot on your plate, what's going on? And also like, this is serving her in such a way. It's making meaning of her story in such a beautiful way. And it's her really, you know, showing up and giving herself something to like pour into in this beautiful way. So I think that it's really okay if things are both for us sometimes. And obviously we're just kind of always gonna find the line. Of course, when it tips over into burnout or self-sabotage, that's worth looking at. And of course, you know, it's not going to just be a positive thing with no trade-offs associated with it, but finding that middle ground is always so important and not expecting it to be one or the other.
I was just really thinking a lot about like my lack of vision this year, just because I was really in like a different kind of survival mode.
Yeah.
Right. And so this week I've really been like feeling back into vision and really been feeling back into like a reframe of the season. Like what, how can I just really look at things differently? Like, it's so funny. My clients are like, oh my God, you're so good at mindset and embodiment. I'm like, yeah, because I fucking have to walk it all the time.
Yeah. Like, it's just what I'm doing every second of every day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I was like so in that process this week and just really feeling into, you know, how these like seasons of transition and like loss and shedding and all of that, like don't have to be... They just don't have to be seen in, I think, a way I was looking at it. Like, it really can just be this really beautiful preparation season for something way bigger and better than I even dreamt of for myself. That's like, I'm being prepared for. And I think that part of it really has helped me alchemize a different kind of meaning, not that a meaning that's like outcome based, but just a meaning that allows me to just like sit in the shed a little bit, you know?
Yeah. It was so interesting to me too, because I'll be honest with you, I kind of thought you were going to be a little more challenged by the vision part than you were. And you were just like, oh, okay, well, I sat with it and here is my entire clarified list of all this stuff.
I know.
Like, so specific, so obvious. So like, it felt like it, you just opened a door and it was there kind of thing, right?
Totally. And I think that's like why I'm so passionate about somatic tools, because it wasn't from my head. It's like, it's been in my body and I just needed to like create space for that to come up.
Yeah. You just like made the opening.
So there's like a different energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm also in a really good part of my cycle.
It's like maybe that energy was like living in you and you were like, you may come alive now. You may come out, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. It was like waiting for that permission slip a little bit. And, you know, I think our bodies are so wise. They protect us until we're ready for something too.
Yeah.
And I just now know I'm like strong enough to feel more. I'm strong enough to like see more. I'm strong enough to take different actions. And that's where this energy is coming from. So I really don't feel like I'm running away from my pain as much as I'm just like, no, I'm like, I've been sitting in that pain and I've been like feeling it and living it. And now it's like, you're ready for what else is on the other side of this. And that is a different level of like soul energy.
For sure. And I think that, you know, in that conversation about balance of like, is this just like a time to run at it? Or am I like in a little bit of like risk of burnout or taking on too much? Like, I think like the guiding light there is always like, how does it feel? Like, are you overwhelmed? Are you overstimulated? Are you ever, are you like, actually, I'm like so alive from doing this. And it's like, you know, giving me this experience that I like haven't had. Like, I think it's always so different, you know?
Yeah. And I'm realizing too that I work really well in sprints. So this is not going to be a marathon for me in terms of output. Like, this is a sprint, and then I'm going to create space on the other side of it to like rest and nourish and replenish. But while I have this fire, while I have this energy, like it feels really good for me to get a lot done.
So something that I just want to mention here that I think that, you know, we so often, you know, forget or make wrong as entrepreneurs is that sometimes a sprint does come before a rest period or vice versa. And I think that sometimes we can make that wrong. Like, you know, oh my gosh, I have this like a bunch of off time coming up. Like, I shouldn't have to sprint in the lead up to it. Or if I did, that was wrong. Or like, I've had a bunch of downtime and now I'm feeling like I have to sprint and coming back and like making that wrong. And I think what's really helpful here that I want to just like acknowledge Robin for is how she's feeling really good in the sprint because she knows rest is coming and she's finding that balance, right? And I think that that is so useful as an entrepreneur, is being willing to have those different seasons and not making too much meaning out of them because you know it's a season, right? So it's like when you're in that sprint season, you can spin out and be like, oh my God, I'm working too hard and I'm working too much and this is so bad and da da da. Right? Or you can be like, oh, this is just like a season that has a clear end to it. Or vice versa, you know, in the rest seasons, we can make ourselves so wrong too. Like, oh my gosh, I'm like taking so much downtime. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. Instead, it's like, it's a rest season. It's like meant for this. I know I'll like get into it when I get back. Now, you don't want your whole entire business to just be like sprint, rest, sprint, rest, sprint, rest, right? Obviously, it's like sometimes you're going to sprint, sometimes you're going to rest, and mostly you're going to be doing a middle ground approach, I think, to not burn out on either end. But I just really wanted to say that because, again, I think sometimes we forget that like we're in a specific season and honoring that season is so crucial without kind of, you know, projecting like, oh, it's always going to be like this. I'm always going to be sprinting. I'm always going to have all this downtime. The truth is, we almost always find some level of equilibrium in all of it. And acknowledging that is really, really important because it's what makes us actually enjoy the season we're in and not make it wrong. Yes, good. Okay, so we are like, you're very much like, I'm watching that. It's not a problem right now is kind of where we're ending, right?
I'm really boundaried around it. I've decided there's like a hard stop for it next week. And then I will be taking like 3 weeks off essentially of like output in this way.
Yeah. I think that's really helpful too, is like sometimes we can go hard when we know some other like reprieve is coming versus like you can't go hard always forever. But it's like it makes sense to like have a sprint, have a rest, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Remind me what your human design is.
Manny Jen.
Makes sense.
Emotional.
Totally. Okay, good.
And the hermit or the role model or whatever.
Totally makes sense. I feel like I've been learning a little bit more about Manny Jens lately because Bennett's one. So I'm like, tell me all the things. Yeah.
What are you?
Generator.
Generator. Got it. It's so interesting because I did a human design reading for my business. And I said to the person, I'm like, I really feel like I've run my business like a projector. And my business being a projector energy has been so healthy for me as a Manny Jen because it keeps me in check. And so not that I expected to talk about this, but I think like that's definitely like an energy that I want to keep in my business as I scale, is like really kind of running the business like a projector.
Makes a lot of sense. Totally. I think like those things are like such helpful guides without being so rigid, right? It's not like, oh my gosh, now it has to be run in this way. Like I am a Manny Jen or whatever. It's like, oh, I can see how different pieces of this serve me. But like that context and being like, oh, what if I ran the business like a projector is actually like a really helpful frame, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me what kind of feels helpful to dive into today. Obviously, there's a lot on deck. Does it feel like kind of like a strategy day? Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I think a strategy day would be really helpful. The two big pieces are the fertility cocoon launch.
Yep.
And as like a brand new market kind of thing is a very different kind of launch. And so that's probably like my priority right now. And then the second piece is going to be like a 90-day plan for audience growth for attraction for the mother business.
Okay. Got it. 90-day. Okay. You want to start with fertility.
Yeah. Just because I think that like, so I did more, me and my market research. I did more market research on mother business.
Okay.
Now that I have a sales page, I know you're working on it, but just like people kind of trust as like a soundboard who would be my ideal client. And they were all like super obsessed with it. They got it right away. Like it was so great for me to see that. And also half of them, or maybe 60-ish% of them, had worked with me in some capacity and they could like see different parts of my work in it. And so that felt very validating. And yeah, and so like just from that, seeing that, like, I do think it's very much a validated concept and like we're on the right track there. I just need to bring in the right people for it now into my community.
Yes. Oh, that's so exciting. I love that. I think it's also so interesting how it's almost like you solidified it for you and then you probably explained it in a way that solidified it for them, right?
Yeah, I had to paint the picture a little bit.
Yeah.
And just the energy, I'm just like, this is it. Like, this is awesome. I'm excited about it. And I feel like that excitement piece is so contagious.
Oh my God, yes. I think it is so interesting how different Robin's Market research went this time. Now, obviously, there are a million reasons that could be. Like, it was a totally different time when she did that. She was at a different place. She probably asked different people. It doesn't even matter to a certain extent, right? But the thing that I do want to say here is that when you solidify things for you, it almost always solidifies it for others. So she really, really landed the concept for herself before she took it out to get market research. And now that research is so confirming, where before she was sort of still figuring out what that could even mean. And then the market research sort of reflected to her that it was maybe not quite the best option. And so I just wanted to say that because I think this could be a really, really good piece of evidence for everyone listening is that yes, market research is so important and it matters. And also having things solidified with you before you bring it to others is usually what solidifies it for them. So if you're doing market research prior to that, you're probably gonna get a version of it that is reflecting how unclear you are. And that's always really helpful to note. Again, market research is amazing, but knowing where you're at and when you're doing it is really important because the results and the responses will be so reflective of that. And it's really important that you have that context when you're doing it. All right, tell me fertility cocoon plan as it stands.
So I kind of want to talk about a few different things. So one, like a zero to hero kind of launch plan. Two, pricing, because I've never launched a membership myself. I just kind of want to get some outside feedback there. And especially this is like a new niche for me. And then the second piece is platforms. So like I kind of am in the shiny object phase for the launch where I'm like, oh, we could totally do like a 90-day Pinterest plan because I feel like blogging and SEO is so good for this. Like Pinterest is like exactly where ideal clients hanging out. It's like an evergreen strategy. It's long-term. Like that makes sense to hire someone and kind of build that out. And then I'm like, Instagram and TikTok is like easy for community growth. That like for sure needs to happen. And then I'm like, oh, but like YouTube also is like the SEO. And like, that is where a lot of people are going for like the deep dive. Like, do these people really get it? And I have like a million ideas for how we can leverage really solid interviews and like bringing on experts and like really kind of building community there. So I have like all the ideas and I just need to organize them a little bit.
It's just the worst when you know too much sometimes. I know. You like lose that naivete of just being like, I'll just get on YouTube and it'll work, right? Like yeah. You're like, oh, I see all these benefits and trade-offs. Yeah. Totally.
And like it's serving so in different ways. Like one's a little bit more of that, like the fast ROI. And then the other one's like, oh, but that's like a year plan. And like, that makes sense for like where I want to be a year from now.
So I just loved this kind of dialogue from Robin of like, I could do this with this, I could do this with this, I could do this with this, right? Because I think knowing all the benefits and trade-offs of different platforms can literally be crazy making, but it's also really helpful, right? But I think that sometimes that naivete that we have at the beginning of business when we don't know all of that, that lets us just like pick one thing and run with it and just assume it's gonna be great and perfect and work out, can be really useful sometimes. Once we know all the things and can see all the benefits and trade-offs, obviously we're gonna make a better, more informed decision that supports us, but it can, you know, remove some of that naivete of just thinking like, oh, this is great, this is perfect, and it will work. So what I really wanted to say about that is, there is no perfect thing and there is no perfect platform. And I think that's exactly what Robin was articulating here. And I feel like it's just great to hear that and great to remember that and great to know that, because I think sometimes when we lose that naivete that I was talking about, what we do then is think we need to find all the information we can possibly find until we realize which platform is perfect. And as soon as we just realize there aren't any that are perfect, there are just benefits and trade-offs to each, then it actually does get easier to make the decision, right? Like, obviously, in some ways, it's crazy making, like we were talking about, but in many other ways, it's just clarifying. Like, where it's crazy making is when you're trying to make the perfect decision. Where it's clarifying is when you're like, oh, yeah, I just like all of these have a good thing about them and a bad thing about them, and I just get to pick which of those fit me best. So, if you're kind of in that season of being like, should I go to this platform or should I be doing this? Like, what I would really say is you're not going to find anything that's without challenge. I think especially at this point in the game of social, every platform like requires so much of us and has so many different benefits and trade-offs associated with it. But knowing what those are, going in with your eyes wide open and really picking the one that fits you best versus the one that you think is the best platform will always, always serve you the most. I mean, the thing that comes up for me the most there is what I think always is relevant when you're like, you know, square one kind of on anything like this is like current network, current community. Like even if you didn't have like a business already, I would still say the same to you. Who's your current network? Who's your current community? Like what can you leverage there? Because that's like where we get our early adopters, where we get our first sales is usually with people that already know us in some capacity or have some kind of connection to us. So I actually think like it's maybe really helpful to start the launch plan of thinking about that and then almost like what makes sense as an offshoot from that mm-hmm. as a starting point. And then you could like expand past that down the road into like another platform or something. But I think that would be like a lot to ask of yourself at once to do all of that. And I think you're going to get the most like bang for your buck and leveraging current community, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting because I've been on the journey with like a community of people, and for some of them, it's been just as long as me. And yesterday, the last girl except for me sent me a positive pregnancy test picture.
Oh.
And so she did her IVF transfer like 10 days ago. And she got her BFP, her big fat positive. So like now every single person in my personal network that I've been like supporting and all the things is pregnant, which I'm so excited about for them. But also I've been doing a lot of stuff for them behind the scenes, but not like in the cocoon, like specifically just in terms of like breathwork sessions, embodiment sessions, somatic stuff. My current community that I know of, I don't have anyone that I would invite. Like I literally had like probably 14 or 15 people I could have invited 2 months ago, and they're all pregnant now. But Lindsay and Liza both work at clinics where they have fertility patients, and so they're going to be sending them to us. So like we can leverage that for sure.
Just a reminder though, mm-hmm. like I think it's interesting because I noticed this as like an edge for you to stretch into thinking about this business is I think you are still very focused on the idea that it's like someone who is in an active like IVF journey or something.
Yeah.
Which like if you want it to be that, that's totally okay. But obviously I like understand it different. So tell me if I'm wrong on that. But
yeah,
like your current community, meaning like your, even your whole coaching community,
Oh, yeah.
Like you have an Instagram. You have a following. I think your co-founders do too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so really, I mean that because like a woman that is interested in conception is really your target market, right?
Totally. So I think I just meant, and of those people, not everyone did IVF, but I just think like in terms of the people that I know are like the people who've raised their hand and have said like, this is my journey, or like people who've responded to my podcast being like, I'm on a similar journey or whatever, of the people who've raised their hand, they're pregnant. So then the second part of your point to my Instagram community is like, how do I market there, but also like keep it separate?
I think at first you don't have to, meaning like at first, I think it's actually really important that you present it to your audience, you leverage your audience, you like use what you've built kind of thing. And I don't think it has to feel super separate at first. Like I think it can be like, I'm doing this thing. Let me tell you about it. Let me bring you along with me. You can even like make some business like tie-ins there. Like, ooh, we're doing this. We're launching like this. Like I think you can actually really like integrate them for a short period of time.
Okay.
And then obviously like it can live separately. It can have its own space, its own Instagram, its own email list, all the things that you're obviously going to do. But I don't think it's bad from an initial stance, especially to like really help your audience understand it. Like I know that was sort of like a fear that you initially had is like, are they going to think I'm like not doing this business or whatever? So I think like the integration of it initially would probably like serve on a lot of levels, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
I talk about it a ton.
That means then we'll have to push back the mothered business launch so that there's not like there's some gaps and it's not like super confusing, I think. So I can totally do that on my pages and they'll do it on their pages.
I think you definitely can push it back, but also just remember like there's such different offers that it's not really confusing if they'd buy one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like I would be like,
yeah, it's a different person.
Oh, should I work with Robin and Fertility Cocoon or the mothered business? Right, you know what I mean. Like,
different problems.
Yeah, totally. So I kind of wanted to highlight here what I really see the role of a coach being, which is presenting choice, not making all the choices, right? So in this example, I basically said to Robin, like, here are three choices I think you have. Tell me how these are feeling for you. And I think so often as coaches, we feel so much pressure that we should be like, here are the three things you could do and you absolutely should do this one. And I know it's the right one and all of these things, right? But to me, like the most empowering way to coach is to be able to present choices, know our role, and then like facilitate the unfolding and discussion around that, right? Meaning like, cool, here are your three choices. Does your gut really, really like light up with one? Awesome. Then we know the answer. Or, you know, do a bunch of different things come up? Let's talk through them. Let's process it all. But I just really wanted to highlight that because, again, I think so many coaches put so much pressure on themselves to like present the choices, but then have all the answers. And, you know, sometimes it can really override our clients' own intuition and empowerment when we do that. And so permission to see your job as presenting the choice, talking through the options, being the expert in what the choices are and not what the perfect answer or solution is, right? That is so freeing as a coach. And honestly, it almost always feels 100 times better to clients. So really just wanted to use this as an example and encourage you around that and hopefully give you a way to turn the pressure down there. And you might even like be able to tie them together really well. Like we're building Fertility Cocoon in this way on mothered business principles. Here's what those are. Like, mm-hmm. Again, not that you absolutely have to not push it back. Like I'm totally on board with whatever feels good, but I just wanted to say, like, I don't think that's like a must if that's not your desire.
Yeah. Okay. I'll sit with that for a second and just feel into, I think for that decision, it's going to come down more to my capacity.
Yeah.
Especially because like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just like manifesting this, but like I just am predicting that I'll meet a mindset edge at the launch for the Fertility Cocoon because like I definitely have really rebelled against like being the fertility girl. But that's like something I really didn't want. And then I shared my story and like, obviously now I am the fertility girl. So it's like, I just need to like sit with that and like, let it be what it is. But I just know my head's gonna, it's gonna get a little bit noisy then.
Does that feel relevant to talk about right now? Or do you want to like, are you like, I kind of want to stay on strategy and we can revisit?
You know, like, I don't even think it's something that needs to get fixed as much as I just need to like allow it to be a little bit uncomfortable because it's not something I want to identify with. And it's not something I consciously identify with at all. But I do think it is part of my story and I have to like accept the truth of that and like also allow the way that people perceive that as part of my story now to support what I want to build next.
Yeah.
Right. So like, yeah, the double-edged sword there. Of like, I don't like it at all.
Yes. And also like it's some of it is you just being in your own process of coming into acceptance of all that. Right. Like it's yeah. So it's the business is highlighting it, but it's such like a personal acceptance that's coming forth. Right.
Yes. Yes. And I just feel like way lighter, you know, after certain milestones, like I just knew I was going to be like really triggered around due date. I just knew I'd be triggered around like seeing babies again, especially with people that were pregnant with me and all of that. And yeah. Like now that I'm like good there, I feel like this is going to be kind of that last piece of like, okay, now everything's like kind of out in the world and now we're just moving forward
yeah.
from the seeds that were planted.
So good. All right. So what I would think about then, like you just sit with the timing. Like I think that I could see it going one of two ways or one of three ways. Sorry. Either you launch Mothered Business first,
mm-hmm.
then you go, okay, now you know what a Mothered Business is. Let me tell you about this other business that's launching. Here's how it is, all of that, blah, 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 blah. Right?
Yeah.
Or you launch Fertility Cocoon first and then you use like the learnings from that and say like, here's how we're doing it. Here's what we learned. Here's how I want to support you. And you go into Mothered Business second, or you do that overlap that we talked about where it's like you're really like co-launching both and kind of just like sharing the intersection and keeping them, you know, kind of quite similar in terms of your content and what you're talking about.
My intuition, like gut reaction to that is to do the Fertility Cocoon first and to use the learnings as a segue. So there's not like a huge gap of time between launches, but there's yep. maybe like a 2-week period.
Yep. I think that would be great.
Okay. So let's just do that.
Okay.
All right. So then for the Fertility Cocoon, strategy wise, we're leveraging current community.
So I want to talk just for a second about why it is so valuable and important to leverage your current network when launching something new. Like it almost feels so obvious to say that it feels funny to say, but it's like, I think that so often for so many of us, we think, well, like I don't have a current network, or like kind of even Robin's initial thought of like, oh, well, the 15 people I could think of that would be like most warm for this aren't right. So where would I go? Meanwhile, she has like this amazing community on Instagram, right? And I think for anyone starting a business, leveraging what you have is so crucial because that is almost always how things take off. You know, that idea of early adopters, like our early adopters almost always come because they already have a relationship with us. They already know us. And I think so many of us forget to leverage that or make it wrong. We're like, I want to start on social media from scratch with strangers. And that's how I'm supposed to grow versus being like, what if I told people I know about this, you know? And I think that resistance is always so interesting. Like, and I'm not saying this is true of Robin, I'm just talking about us in general, but sometimes I think for a lot of people, it feels safer with strangers, right? I guess that is true with Robin in a sense based on our conversation here, but just saying that I don't want to put words in her mouth, but it's like safer with strangers than it is with our current network. But like what I can tell you is when you get really good at explaining it to your current network and when you get excited about sharing it with them, like it's so easy to share it with strangers. And so like for me, when I started my business, I took on 3 clients for free, which I've talked about a lot. And I think all of them were from a current network that I had, right? And I feel like there's this way where people can just feel like they're not supposed to be, or that was like a cheat code, or like that was like not correct or something like that, right? And I just do not believe that is true at all. I think anytime you're launching something new, leveraging with the people you already have relationships with that already know you is the smartest way you could possibly build a business. And it's what rolls out and then gets the ball kind of moving to those strangers, those people on the internet. And so no matter what that is, you know, if it's like a brand new business or even a new offer, your current network is the place to be at the beginning. So just wanted to encourage you on that and remind you of how often we write that off and what an important component to success it can be.
In terms of like social media splash and all that, what would you suggest we look at there?
Are you talking about like timing or?
No, more just like the experience of the launch. Like if I think about a launch, I like to think about how like the multi-sensory experience of it. So not just like the announcement piece, but like, how are people feeling? What journey are we taking them on? How are we telling the story? What visuals are we using? Like, what's the energy of it? All of those pieces. So just thinking about those for socials.
What seems really relevant to me there is kind of what we talked about with the sales page there. Is I think what you really want to do at first, which you've already started to do, so I think you can like leverage the momentum of that, is like make it about you and your story and make it personal, right? Mm-hmm. I think obviously eventually Fertility Cocoon is going to be something that's not just about Robin in any way, right? But I think at the beginning, like the reason you guys are starting this is because you've all had this journey, is because you've all been there. And so I think the more you can like put your face to it, put your energy to it, put your story to it, the more it is going to bring your like current audience with you. So like your face, your story being like the thing, the vibe, your face is like.
This is the thing.
And here we are at that edge.
Yes, exactly. I was like thinking about this in the shower and I was like, oh, I'm so excited to start a new page for the Fertility Cocoon. And I was like, oh, where's that coming from? And I was like, social media is just this like really weird place where like, I don't know, you go to a dinner party in real life where you have different friend groups and different circles and they just know different sides of you, right? Like your college friends know the beer pong girl, your mom friends know the like responsible mom.
Yes.
Very few friends know like all the different parts of you. And, you know, those are obviously our most special friends. But then we have social media and it's like, oh, cool. So like your crazy aunt and your grandma and your high school friend and your college crush and your ex-boyfriend's mom and all the people are in like one room staring at you and like getting to see, for me, this like experience, which has been like so raw, so sacred, so like not something I would talk about in like many in real life rooms, never mind on the fucking internet. And I know I've chosen to do that. And there's like a very deeply connected reason why I've chosen to do that. But like to do it in that room is feeling like, ugh, you know, but, like especially when you like see who watches your stories. And you're just like, holy shit, like, I can't believe they know this about me now. Like, that just feels really like, do I want to like repeat this message for like 2 weeks during our launch to like those people?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think the thing that's really important to say about that is you don't fucking have to.
I know, but right? Like, it's just, it's part of the choice I've made to like be public about my story and like to not feel ashamed about it, which is like something I struggled with for so long, just like feeling like there was something wrong with me or my body or like all the things. And so it's like, oh, the secret that I just like don't want out there, and now it's out there and it's like, okay, whatever, I'm over that. But also like the people that I know like saw that and responded to it and I'm just like, oh god, we've done that, like how do I? Yeah. And I mean, I can like mute and block certain people that are like going to be the most triggering there, but also it just feels more comfortable for me to like have the Fertility Cocoon page be like fertility stuff where like a lot of those people are less likely to be hanging out.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think you are sharing something that's like so raw. Like you said that you wouldn't just like walk into a dinner party and like tell that story at the table necessarily. And I think it's like really natural to feel a certain way about that. But I also think that like what I would get curious about is like, is this a broad feeling or are we actually talking about five specific people that are in your head that, you know, need to like get blocked or whatever, you know?
Usually it's like, there's always the like, the big players that you're just like, oh shit, yeah. Like, you know, like the crazy aunt who's like gonna go crazy in the family channels, and my husband's friends and like things like that, that I feel like would be not his friends that I'm close to, but like people that like I know are just like more from his past. Anyway, side note, interesting who watches stories, isn't it? I don't think they know that we can see it.
I know, right? Like if you don't have a business or you don't do that all the time, you're like, you don't know that. I mean, I think like you have a couple options there. One is like, obviously, if there's like a handful of big players, like it probably makes sense to just be like, I'm not going to make this a bigger thing that like consumes the idea of everyone else. Like I'm going to block those few people or whatever. Or I think what you could do if you really wanted to is do something like a close friends list where you have people like tell you if they want to like hear more or come behind the scenes
of like launching
this new business or something. And so like obviously one downfall of that is we're not getting
reaching other people,
current thing, but also like it could be a way to be like, hey, if you have an interest in this, if you want to see the behind the scenes of the business, if you have an interest in fertility, whatever, like come over and watch in this certain way. So, I mean, obviously, like, again, there's like a slight trade-off to that, the reach that we're looking for, but I don't know that that's bad either if it gets you like the really engaged people.
Yeah.
Or are those same people just going to follow you over there?
I guess I'll ask to
be on your close friends, but then is that the same as blocking? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that can be something you sit with too. Like, I think the foundation can be like, okay, I am going to share my like story and my face and the, you know, make it tie into the business. And I get to decide like in what way I want to do that.
And, you know, I just knew I was going to meet this moment of like, like in the beginning of this episode where I was like, oh, I just know like when it comes time to launch, I'm going to have like this mindset piece. And like, this is that moment of, I think I just need to meet the moment with like, so much confidence in myself that like they just don't fucking matter. And I think that's like more the edge for me versus like trying to, like, I don't really think it's a privacy thing as much because it's out in the world and I talked about it on my podcast and I feel like I was able to do that after a place of deep integration personally and also in a way that like I could control and felt safe for me because it's on a podcast. I didn't really talk about it on Instagram. I did a few slides and one little post, but like none of the details. So I don't think it's a privacy thing as much as it's just like, who fucking cares what people think thing. And I just have to meet that moment.
I imagine knowing you, knowing your love for one-on-one, all the things, knowing how you even described kind of like different rooms, different people, that you have a bit of a shapeshifter tendency.
In terms of?
Like, I'm good at like reading a person or a situation and kind of like adjusting accordingly, not in like in a self-abandonment way, but like in a, like I can, sometimes it's your superpower, right?
Yeah. I would say that I'm like really good at, it's like a connection piece. It's like, I'm really good at figuring out how we can connect and like meeting that person in that moment in that way. Yeah.
And I think that I feel similarly, right? And I think we derive a lot of power and safety from that. It's like, oh, I can like go to a party and I feel like super safe because I'm like really good at being like, oh, I can like shapeshift into that conversation. I can connect. I can find like a way forward or whatever. Where we can't do that, where we lose that power, we lose that safety, or we lose that control is something like this, where you're like, wait, my aunt and my husband's old friend are in the same conversation and I like can't shapeshift to like either of them, and it's fucking really disorienting, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I feel like that's super relevant and just want to say like I see you in that, and it like really makes sense that like it's almost like, well, I have this thing that's kind of my superpower, and in this specific situation it feels like it's getting taken away a little bit, and that's super hard to like digest. And I feel like if this business becomes what you want it to become, you do have to let go of the idea that those five people matter or whatever, because if not, Fertility Cocoon always has a limit on it. So something that's really important that I always think about with clients whenever we're kind of hitting a visibility edge is that kind of question of, is it just a few specific people that are coming to mind, or is it more of a general feeling? if it's a few specific people that are coming to mind, there's usually something really specific to work through with those people, or we just need to fucking block those people, right? Like, it can be just that simple. Or if it's more of a general feeling, then there's probably like a lot more mindset wise to go into and look at there, because it's not even like, oh, this one person, it's like, oh, this one feeling or this one belief, right? And it's really helpful to have discernment between the two, because sometimes if it's just a few specific people and we make it this whole big mindset thing, we're kind of digging a dry well, you know? Like, it's like we're looking for something that's just not there, where we could have already moved on. Or if we're treating it like, oh, it's just a few specific people, let's move on, when it's really like a general feeling, we're really missing an opportunity to dig into mindset. So if you're kind of hitting your own edge around that, or you have a client that is, that's one of the first things I would look at, is like, are we talking about like a handful of people that come to mind, or are we talking about like a general feeling or belief that's coming up? And you'd probably address, or, you know, work through those in quite different ways. So just wanted to give that context, because I think it can be really easy to sort of run down the wrong path with one of these. But when you can ask that question and get really, really clear on what's actually coming up, it's so much easier to solve. And y'all know I love to solve the right problem. So I think this is just an easy way to do it with visibility edges.
Totally. And I have to really meet myself in that moment and just back myself and like not care, because I don't think it's necessarily that I care what they think of me as much as I care that like there's a point of disconnection in a way.
Or misunderstanding.
Misunderstanding, totally. Like, yeah. I hate feeling misunderstood. Like, huge trigger for me. Big, big, big.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Lindsay, my partner in this, she's like, you know, I think our superpower is that we both over-communicate and over-explain. And I was like, yeah, totally. Like, we both just like really like things to be said and to be clear. And you can't, like, I don't want to over-explain this on social media. So yeah, the people that are going to get it are going to get it. And the ones that don't won't. And I think that's just going to need to be okay.
The interesting thing is, too, is everyone that we're talking about as examples aren't a client for either business.
Totally.
Anyway.
100%. Because that's it.
So there's even more freedom in being like, it doesn't fucking matter. Because obviously you can say that about a client, but sometimes your brain is like, no, but it still kind of does matter. But in this case, like, it truly does not fucking matter. Right?
Yeah. And I think that's why they're the ones that came to mind, because they're not going to get it. Like, yeah. I know they're not going to get it. So like, there is going to be a disconnect there, but it comes to me as another like invitation to just orient myself more in it all and to be repelling, which we've talked about.
Such a theme, right? Such a theme is like the edge of being repelling as much as you're attracting.
Yes.
So then I would say the challenge for you there then is to not create the close friends list, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to really lean in. And I'm ready to do it. I literally sat on this idea for over a year because of this exact moment that I'm going into. And like, I knew when I made the decision I was going to run towards it, that I was going to still have to face this. And I think that's just kind of part of being an entrepreneur, really, and like why leadership is just something that's really important to me as a business person, because you have to lead yourself first. And this is kind of me like stepping into that fire.
I don't know if this is helpful or if this you might take us down another rabbit hole. So feel free to be like, what the fuck, Lee? But, you know, the thing that comes up for me is sitting here and listening to you share this is you are already doing the hard thing. Like, this conversation is being recorded where we're talking about a crazy aunt or something, right? Like,
yeah,
I get the edge of like, well, she's probably not going to listen to this anyway, but it's like, I think I just want to say, like, you're already in your leadership. You're already in your vulnerability. You're already putting yourself out there to be understood and misunderstood in like a million ways. Like, you already have so much evidence that you're doing it and that you've made that choice. And so I just think it's like really beautiful to maybe like own where it, I notice like this way where it feels like it's something you have to step into. And I just like want to remind you it's something you already are and are already doing.
I so appreciate that reflection. Thank you.
you could not be more in it than you are in this moment with your truth, with your leadership, with your vulnerability. Like, the box is checked. You sharing about Fertility Cocoon on socials, like, fucking nothing once you're doing this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting how, like, actors are, like, famous people would be like, oh, put me on a stage in front of, like, 20,000 people and I'm not nervous at all. And put me in a room in front of 5 and I, like, shit my pants.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like that a little bit, where it's like,
yeah,
I need to just think of those 5 people as, like, you're not it.
Yeah. And like, that might be a good clearing exercise to work on. Like, that might be, you know, a good to do even is like write down those 5 people and like try to get specific there. You can share that with me in Basecamp. Obviously here is not the place because this is not the place to go deep on those 5, but like, you know, we could talk about the specifics associated with them. So you're really making it about like, let me clear the energy with this person instead of like, let me project an issue onto Fertility Cocoon or onto sharing on social or whatever. It's like, let me just clear the air with this person, you know?
Yes. I think there's a lot of things that, you know, anyone who's building an online business, leveraging social media will understand that people don't, like, we talk about money. Normal people don't talk about how much money they make. Mm-hmm. We talk about like our personal life. We talk about our mindset shit. Like, normal people don't lead with that. And so I think that there's just like a lot of things that we do in general after you made that reflection that a lot of people won't understand.
Yes.
So this is probably just the thing that I care more about.
Yeah.
So it's really my thing.
It's also newer.
Yeah.
Like, you literally just shared this story for the first time like a month ago.
Yeah, it's new.
Right. You've been sharing the money, the mindset, the whatever for years.
Yeah.
I imagine this felt somewhat similar at the beginning, you know?
I feel like for me, this has just had like so much shame. Like, shame is something I really didn't understand until I really felt it in a really fucked up way. And I was like, oh, this is shame. Like, I'm meeting shame here in like a very distinct way. So, you know, that's where my somatic practices, I think, are kind of like my answer here for this.
Yeah, totally.
Next step of it. Okay, so we'll leverage my network, fine.
Yay! Yes, leverage your network, your face, your story, like really connect them with you. You know, I think like this is not always and forever true, but the reason people are going to buy Fertility Cocoon right now is because of you.
Yeah, and I think the part there that I always expected it would be like the before and after, like we always sell. Mm. And it's like there was no after. So I feel like that also is like a different piece of it that I need to figure out the messaging for so that it doesn't become like a trauma bonding hub.
Yeah.
And it really is like a place of like hope and positivity. And, you know, today I was even thinking about how like, because someone shared with me they'd just been trying for 3 months and they aren't pregnant after 3 months and they're devastated by it. And it really kind of hit home for me that it doesn't really even matter how long you're trying. Like, when you have pressure and when you want something so badly, there's always going to be that like disappointment. I think I just like really want it to be a space for like meeting people in their waiting, you know, and it's like, how can we wait well? How can we thrive in this season? How can we like really embrace this in-between moment of like who we're becoming and what we don't have yet, but in like a really hopeful, uplifting way? So I need to really think about sharing my story from that place.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, like I think the fact that you're even doing what you're doing is why it's like such a good crossover. The fact that like your waiting season is you launching a business and you helping other women and like, you know, just kind of like, I don't know if you would categorize it in this exact way I'm going to say it, but like making the most of that season. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think there's like something really, really magical where you're not only talking about that, you're like literally showing them that right in that moment by like launching, by serving, by, you know, bringing something else to life. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really need to nail the message for the marketing, like the story, like what is that? What's the Launch King's name? I'm just like blanking on him. I'm forgetting his name, but the Launch King. He always talks about you need like that one story for your launch. I know what my story is. I just don't know what part of my story is like the story for the launch.
I think your story is what Fertility Cocoon solves, right? So I'm not trying to put a story on you, but like that's what I think about. Like if you were like, oh my God, if I had just had more community during that time, or if I had had more of these resources that were providing, or I had an easier way to access them, like the waiting, the journey, the whatever would have been so different for me. So you think like connecting it to like what you're providing and like your why behind that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that feel relevant?
Yeah. I was just thinking about like, how do we package that into a like a punchy thesis statement kind of thing, you know, that's like really memorable in a way that's not just like fluffy, feel good. Yeah. It's like, okay, we get it. Like miscarriages happen. It sucks. Fertility sucks. Like we get it. Like what's the thing, you know?
What's the promise for them?
Yeah, that like.
What's the Fertility Cocoon promise?
Well, so like I said to my husband, I was like, oh, well, we're playing with like the distinction between like we love to make babies and we want life to move through you as like the two different things. Because like what women really want is like the baby. That's like the dangling carrot, so to speak. But what I really want for myself, and I think this is just like another fucking theme between like my business, and I just want the depth. I want the soul. I want the like the juice behind the like first initial thing for people. And to me, that's just like, can life move through you? Can we create life? But can we create life from this place of being like rigid and controlled and like stuck and like obsessive and so attached to outcomes? And like when we're in that embodiment, we're really like embodying a low frequency that's squeezing life out of us. So how can we create life from that place? And like in the pursuit of creating life on fertility journey, so many women forget to live because it is so consuming. And it's so like, you live in these like 2 week windows, like, okay, I'm ovulating. Okay, I'm getting my period. Okay, now I need to prep for ovulation. And it's just like, can we just relax? Can we soften? Can we surrender? Can we allow ourselves to be more open to life and to have that be more of the goal? And then like a baby's a result of that kind of thing.
I think that the baby is important, like you said, because it's the goal, right? Like even like when we think about like Fertility Cocoon and the resources and stuff, like most of them are like, how can we help you conceive, right?
Yeah. How can we conceive and sustain a pregnancy?
Yeah. But I also think like when you say life moving through you, I mean, I literally think of birth. Mm-hmm. Life is literally moving through you.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you could do a bit of a play on that where it's about both. It's like letting life be lived in that time and move through you and literally creating life that like moves through you, right? Like I wonder if there's a way to like give it both. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would love that because to me that's more the energy that I want in the space, less like, okay, here's my checklist. Check, check, check. I took my supplements. I did acupuncture. I did like blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah. Like, well, how can we actually like not be so obsessive? And just let life literally move through us so that life can move through us. And I think that's kind of the energy that people also want to feel because it's opposite to how they're feeling. So I need to really nail that message.
I like what you just said. I just typed it to you in the chat.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I need to voice note myself more.
That might be the play on both. Like, let life move through us so life can literally move through us. Like, really make it about the both. And obviously, you can, like, you know, take that or edit as needed. But I really like that concise way of saying both, right?
I love that, too.
Because I think if you try to lean toward one or the other, either you're going to feel like you're losing out or your audience is going to be losing out, right?
Yes.
And so I think it has to be both. But I think, obviously, yeah, like, you need a concise way to say that. And I think you just nailed it.
Okay. We're going to run with that. I really like that.
Yay, I really like that.
Okay, so we got the message. We got the strategy. I'm going to leverage my community. I'm going to sit in that edge. We're going to time the Mothered Business launch for like piggybacking on the first launch. And in, I guess in Basecamp, we'll just talk a little bit about building the audience for that 90-day runway.
Yeah. I think we already have a pretty good conversation going about that. So I think that there's like, you know, we can continue that pretty easily there, but I think this is really good.
Okay.
Amazing. All right. I will talk to you in Basecamp. I'm going to get you sales page thoughts today and we'll go from there.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Literally. Your precious earbud time means the world to me, and I'm incredibly grateful that you chose to spend it with this podcast. Your feedback is not only valuable, but essential to me on this journey. So if you've enjoyed the podcast and found it beneficial, please take a moment to leave a review. And here's the best part. To express my gratitude, I'll select one lucky reviewer each month to receive my ultimate mini course to maximizing results in one-on-one coaching. If you want to be an in-demand coach who's known for creating those epic results and getting epic results in your own business because of it, then this course is for you and you can grab the first module of it for free right now at alitoflife.com/mini-course.